I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome to another season finale of Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE amidst US-Israeli wars in this region, and on the week of Russian President Vladimir Putin's scheduled meeting with China's Xi Jinping in Beijing following the recent Trump-Xi summit. Just days ago marked the anniversary of the Nakba of 1948, the catastrophe that saw more than 700,000 Palestinians violently driven from their homes to create Zionist entity Israel. Palestinians who remained were stripped of equal rights and are subjected to a system of oppression that persists to this day. The process of dispossession, occupation, and siege through the decades is enforced not only by Israeli military power, but by the money, weapons, and diplomatic protection of NATO nation capitals, above all Washington, where successive administrations have treated Israeli impunity as a cornerstone of U.S. foreign policy. G7 finance ministers who must know about their nation's complicity in the Gaza genocide meet in Paris today. Does Trump understand that his bombing of Iran weakens the USA, that the millions killed, wounded, or displaced by attacking Iran and Lebanon will be remembered, that he is hastening a multipolar world as it witnessed by Iranian, Chinese, Russian, and UAE officials gathering in Delhi in the past few days? Did Trump commit to war with Iran because of Epstein blackmail? Joining me now is someone who just calls Trump Netanyahu's poodle. Avi Schleim has been awarded the British Academy's Medal for Lifetime Achievement, and he's the Emeritus Professor of International Relations at the University of Oxford. Professor Schleim, thank you so much for coming back on Going Underground. It's been a terrible couple of years since you were last on. I should say the papers in the UAE are full of headlines like Israeli strikes killed 380 since Lebanon ceasefire. That goes on. And of course, even the Financial Times is saying Israel plans to speed up its slow annexation of the West Bank. I don't know what would be slow and what would be fast for the Financial Times. Billions affected by those pushed into hardship by the higher prices, let alone genocides in Lebanon and Gaza. How do you characterize the Trump-Netanyahu war on Iran?
The Trump-Netanyahu war on Iran is one of the most unjustified, senseless, and foolish wars of the 21st century. There was absolutely no reason to go to war. This is an unlawful war. There was no Security Council resolution that mandated a war on Iran. There was no imminent threat from Iran to either Israel or America. So it was a decision taken by these two leaders to launch an attack on Iran. And the dominant personality here is Netanyahu. He's the junior partner, but he's the real architect of this war. He succeeded in dragging America into a war on Iran. And remember that Netanyahu was first elected as prime minister in 1996. For the last 30 years, Netanyahu has been demonizing Iran and calling for a military strike against Iran's nuclear facilities. But no American president, until Trump, was stupid enough to fall for it. Now, Trump went along with this plan by Netanyahu, and we have seen the consequences. It's been a war that has caused immense damage and destruction, inflicted a lot of suffering on civilians, and not just in Iran, but on Lebanon as well. And at the same time, Israel continues the genocide in Gaza and the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank. So what we are seeing is an Israeli success in dragging America into a war, which is damaging to America, damaging to America's Gulf allies, hugely damaging to the international economy, and undermines international law.
I'll get on to the Americans, ordinary people in the United States not supporting it, but away from the individuals, and of course your histories are about structures. The Israeli Democracy Institute polled 93% of Israeli Jews in favor of bombing Iran. And that was a majority, even after the slaughter of the 168 schoolgirls in Minab. Perhaps that wasn't covered in the Israeli media. It's not really just about Netanyahu, is it? Given 93% of Israeli Jews supported bombing Iran.
No, it's not just about Netanyahu. The whole of Israeli society has been moving to the right steadily for the last 25 years, since the second Intifada. Israel has become more right-wing, more overtly racist, and there's been a growing impact of religious Zionism on Israeli foreign policy. In general, it's much easier to persuade the Israeli public to go to war, to attack the enemy, than to make peace, because peacemaking involves making concessions, whereas going to war is always more popular. And Netanyahu has been very successful in persuading the Israeli public that Iran poses an existential threat to Israel. That's what he keeps repeating, and that's what Israelis believe. That's why this high level of high degree of support for the war. But Netanyahu is wrong. Iran is not an existential threat to Israel. Just look at their records. Iran has never attacked any of its neighbors. Israel's keep attacking its neighbors left, right, and center. And now it's attacked not a neighbor, but Iran itself. Iran signed the non-proliferation treaty. Israel has refused to sign the non-proliferation treaty. Iran submitted to international inspection of its nuclear program. Israel refuses to admit any international inspection of its army or its nuclear, let alone its nuclear program. Iran has renounced the wish of producing nuclear weapons, whereas Israel has in the region of 200 nuclear warheads. So to sum up, Iran does not pose an existential threat to Israel. It's Israel which poses an existential threat to Iran.
Albeit it might have arguably changed since the bombing began. I mean, do you think Israel cares much about the reputational damage around the world of attacking the Islamic Republic? I mean, obviously the United States may do. Or does Israel feel this is all part of a greater Israel project, as spoken about by Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel? The next steps are invading Saudi Arabia, Iraq, where you were born, Turkey, Egypt.
Israel really doesn't care about public opinion or its reputation. Israel cares about one thing, and that is American support. And so far, Israel has enjoyed unqualified American support, which takes the form of military aid and diplomatic protection, the use of the American veto at the Security Council. So the problem with American support for Israel is that it is unconditional. Israel can do whatever it likes, and there is no price to pay. That's the problem. American support for Israel is unconditional. That means, in practical terms, that Israel can commit genocide in Gaza and not suffer any consequences. Israel can and has been intensifying settler violence and the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank. There are no consequences for Israel. America signed a ceasefire with Iran, and Israel claims that the ceasefire doesn't apply to Lebanon, whereas the Iranians say, yes, the ceasefire agreement applies to Lebanon, but Israel has Trump's support for its view that the ceasefire does not apply to Lebanon. So what we have seen recently is that Israel completely devastating Lebanon, and it's not just in its fight against Hezbollah, it's been destroying whole villages in southern Lebanon, and it has caused the displacement of 1.1 million Lebanese who have become refugees. And at the same time, Israel bombs relentlessly civilian neighborhoods in Beirut. It targets journalists, and it has inflicted a lot of damage on hospitals and on the ambulances and the healthcare in southern Lebanon. So what Israel is doing in the shadow of the ceasefire with Iran is to apply the playbook of Gaza to southern Lebanon and destroying the whole of southern Lebanon. And it does this with complete immunity as long as America supports Israel.
Did you ever think, though, that you'd hear of polls like, I think the latest one is 59% in Pew, of United States voters disapproving of Netanyahu? Half of voters said Israel was committing genocide in the famous Quinnipiac University poll. Unlike where you were speaking to me from, actually. In Britain, only about half were even opposed to Israelis' actions in Gaza. Why do you think the United States has understood what you've been talking about for decades?
Because Israel has overplayed its hand, both in Gaza and on the West Bank, but especially in relation to Iran. Israel denies that it is committing genocide in Gaza. But Americans, like everyone else, can see genocide live stream night after night on their television screens. People also see that Israel is not going just after Hamas or Hezbollah, that it is deliberately, intentionally inflicting a lot of harm and suffering on civilians. Israel has made Gaza completely uninhabitable. Audrey, there is a disconnect between Western governments and the public. The public realizes what Israel is doing, and there's been a massive shift of opinion against Israel and anger against Israel, and a corresponding sympathy and support for the Palestinian cause. It will take some time for Western foreign policy to catch up with public opinion, but that is the trend. Western governments will become more and more critical of Israel, and we are seeing this in America. It's not only Democrats who are critical of Israel. It's now MAGA, Make America Great Again. The Republicans who are turning against Trump and saying, we thought it was about making America great again, but this is all about making Israel great again. So American public opinion is shifting very dramatically against Israel, including Jewish opinion. Jews in America, particularly the younger generation, are increasingly outspoken in their criticism of Israel. They call for the end of occupation, and they want to uphold the human rights of the Palestinians.
Professor Avishai, I'll just have to stop you there. More from the Emeritus Professor of International Relations at the University of Oxford after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the Emeritus Professor of International Relations at the University of Oxford, Professor Avi Schlein. Professor, you were talking to me in part one about how it'll take some time for the generation to change and for the people's views of Israel to change government policy in those countries that have been arming the genocides. We were talking about the United States and how American opinion is certainly showing up in polls as turning. You didn't mention your country, Britain, our country. Sir Keir Starmer famously said, I'm not sure whether he's still prime minister by the time of this broadcast, he said Israel had the right to cut off food, water, and electricity. Quote, Israel must have that does have the right to defend itself. And of course, the British have been involved via Cyprus, the RAF base, they've been involved in the Gaza genocide. Now, what does that make you feel there in Oxford, that the British complicity?
I'm absolutely appalled by British complicity in the destruction of Gaza. And there is a new book, a very good book, by Peter Urban called Complicity, Britain's Role in the Destruction of Gaza. And this has taken the form of arms sales to Israel, intelligence flights over Gaza, the over 700 British intelligence flight over Gaza, and the offer of British bases in Cyprus and in the United Kingdom for both the Israeli Air Force and the Americans to supply the war effort in Gaza. So Britain has been an active partner in committing genocide in Gaza. And it's absolutely appalling. And Starmer once described himself as an unconditional Zionist. No politician should be an unconditional supporter of anything. And he is a human rights lawyer. He should make British support for Israel conditional, Israel respecting human rights, Palestinian human rights, and international law. But also, Britain signed the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. So Britain, since Israel is committing genocide, Britain has a legal duty to stop all arms sales to Israel, to stop buying Israeli military, Israeli technology, and to suspend the trade agreement with Israel. Britain has all these obligations under the convention, but it denies that Israel is committing genocide, and therefore it doesn't think it has to do all the things that it is required to do.
Why is it the European countries that have been so closely involved with the genocide of this century? I mean, Germany supplying the frigates off the coast of Gaza, the French BNP Paribas Bank helping the financing of the genocide, Italy continuing to send weapons. Why is it European nations that have been so involved in the genocide and supporting Israel?
Well, I would question that claim, because it's America which is the main supporter of Israel.
Of course. I mean, besides America, the United States.
Yes. Yes. Then the European support for Israel from the beginning, from 1948, was at least partly influenced by a sense of guilt towards, because of the Holocaust. When Israel was established, no other country in the world has received as much international sympathy and support as Israel has done. And that was for two reasons. One is a feeling of guilt towards the annihilation of European Jewry here in the heartland of Christian Europe. And the other reason is that Israel was perceived as an island of democracy in a sea of authoritarianism. In the 1950s, Israel was an iconic state of justice, liberalism, freedom, democracy. But Israel has gone on a journey in the other direction. And today, it's very widely regarded as an authoritarian state, a racist state, an apartheid state. But it is Israel. It's not just that people suddenly change their opinion of Israel. Israel, by its actions, by its occupation, by its oppression of the Palestinians, by its constant violence and never-ending war, Israel has made itself an international pariah.
I mean, no one gets into trouble dare I say it, here in the UAE for calling out a genocide in Gaza. There have been protest movements in Britain, like Palestine Action. I think even today you face 14 years, up to 14 years in prison or something for wearing a T-shirt. Yeah. The European Legal Support Center Index of Repression has documented 964 incidents of repression against students, academics, writers, and teachers between 2019 and 2025. Is that the governing guilt people in power in European countries and in Britain wanting to keep that support, desperately hold on to that support for Israel? Why are they doing this, those in power?
Because there is a very powerful Israel lobby in Britain, as there is in America. But in Britain, the Israel lobby doesn't operate as openly as it does in America, but it is very, very powerful in both main parties, both in the Conservative Party and in the Labour Party. It wields a lot of influence. In Germany, it's still the sense of guilt over the Holocaust that makes Germany the most repressive European government when it comes to pro-Palestinian, suppressing pro-Palestinian protest. And in Britain, the government has made terrible mistakes because of its blind support for Israel. One example you just mentioned, it proscribed Palestine Action. Palestine Action is a group of young idealistic people who believe in direct action because the government isn't listening to them. So they attack Israeli arms factories in Britain in order to stop Israel from committing genocide in Gaza. But this government has turned Palestine Action, redesignated it as a terrorist organization. And if you support Palestine Action today, you can get a prison sentence of up to 14 years. But the good news is that there was a judicial review. The High Court decided that the proscription of Palestine Action is unlawful, but it gave the government the chance to appeal, and now there is an appeal by the government.
And they're appealing with the time. You know, I don't want to get you into trouble, Professor, for even talking about the case, because that is the level of repression, as I understand it, in Britain. I mean, just remind us, I don't know how you look back on it. What happened to you at Liverpool Hope University? Do you accept that there were reasons for shutting down your distinguished lecture at the university? Because somehow when your words echo out in a lecture room, they are dangerous?
I was invited to give a guest lecture at Liverpool Hope University. And I was going to talk about my autobiography, three words, Memoirs of an Arab Jew. And most of it was going to be about the early part, about our life in Baghdad as Arab Jews. The local Jewish community complained to the university authorities that my presence on campus would make them feel unsafe and that there was a security issue. So the university authorities asked me not to cancel, but to postpone my visit. And I replied immediately that there is no way I would ever go to Liverpool, what I call Liverpool Hopeless University, because there was no issue of security. The only issue was that local Jews didn't like my views about Israel. And this was an infringement of my academic freedom and freedom of expression. And I wasn't prepared to put up with any limits and any infringement of my right to speak my mind about this or any other issue.
I mean, what does it say really, about the fact that you could be accused of endangering Jews as a Jew in Britain. Has genocide been normalized by the upper classes in Britain? I mean, here in West Asia, as I said, Saudi Arabia called it out as a genocide. In the United States, Professor Omer Bartov, he's been on this show, genocide scholar, called it a genocide. In Britain, on your BBC, where I used to work once, you're not allowed to say the word. The government censor is against the word. What does it say about the state of Britain that you could be seen as someone endangering Jews?
It says that the mainstream media in Britain completely fails to report the Palestinian narrative about this conflict. It only reports the Israeli narrative with all the lies and all the distortions and all the propaganda. And the BBC is particularly horrendous in its lack of partiality and objectivity, in always giving Israel the benefit of the doubt, in always giving Israeli spokespeople more space time, in not listening to Palestinians. And also, BBC presenters are instructed, whenever an interviewee mentions genocide, to stop them and say, it hasn't been decided. And I haven't been interviewed on the BBC once in the last 2.5 years, because they know my views and they don't like my views. But I insist that Israel is guilty of genocide. And my last book is called Genocide in Gaza. It is this book, Genocide in Gaza, Israel's Long War on Palestine. And in this book, there are 6 pages of quotations from Israeli leaders, which are plainly genocidal. So there is no doubt at all that there is both the rhetoric of genocide and also the actual actions on the ground, which are genocidal. So Israel has been conducting a genocidal campaign against the Palestinians.
Professor Avi.
Something curious has happened.
Professor Avi Schleim, we're out of time, but thank you once again.
Thank you.
And that's it for our final show of this season. Our continued condolences to all those of you bereaved or affected by today's NATO nation wars of aggression, including, of course, the Gaza genocide and the mass killing in the Donbass. We'll be back with a brand new season on Saturday, the 6th of June. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, now to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com. To watch new and old episodes of Going Underground, see you soon.